save big money at Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking up compact soil and killing weeds in your garden. Get maximum power in a compact frame with a Pioneer rear tine tiller. It features dual direction tines and self-propelled steel wheels. Hurry in for all of your lawn and garden needs and visit Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Shoot Mark and Sarah talk about shoot. Mark and Sarah talk about shoot. Mark and Sarah talk about song.
Oh, you know what that sock hop theme means. We are back for March Madness 2021, the ultimate teen idol tournament, in which this week we contemplate the Elite Eight contenders. I can't believe how far we've come. I can't believe how many we've lost. I can't believe some of the decisions that we're going to have to make, in addition to our lovely Patreon supporters here at Happy Hour Live. I'm here, as always, with the Stan Flandiferous Mark Blankenship.
Hi. Mark. You can call me Stan, but not in that Eminem way. More like friendly nerd way.
Yeah, or in that gasp, Stan way.
Right, that's right. Or I guess we have no choice but to Stan, which is connected to the Eminem way, but in a more pleasant context.
We really don't. Okay, so the Sweet 16 round, which has, as we're recording this, concluded yesterday, I think was the first round where we had really no close matches after the first 20 minutes of voting.
Yes.
So do you want to share with everyone the journey that we went on to arrive at Shangri-La versus Boys Backstreet?
Yes, I sure will. Okay, so as a reminder, if you are listening to this episode, you still have an opportunity to vote in the rounds that are still to come in this tournament. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/mastis, where you will have access to all the polls. Even if you are not a Patreon patron, all you need is a free Patreon account. But of course, we would love to have you as a Patreon patron. And we are joined in this episode, as ever, by our fantastic patrons who will be making comments on mic, and we will be reading their comments in the Zoom chat throughout this episode. The voting process has been robust, to say the least. I would like to say that we're polling at a high turnout rate for our little precinct, Sarah. And we get to the BOP division's final competition between the Shangri-La, or Shangri-Las, as civilians know them, and Backstreet Boys in what I think is a remarkable journey. The Shangri-Las were, for those who don't remember or haven't heard, an undercard pick, meaning they weren't even in the initial lineup. They were 16th seed in their division, and now here they are in the Elite Eight. Backstreet Boys, meanwhile, were ranked second, and they rolled up exactly the way that you would expect a second-ranked seed to do. They are still here, and one of the things I thought was interesting, Sarah, is that not only was it clear that who was going to win from the beginning, but every single contender in tonight's episode won by a minimum of like 28 votes. So these are some, like, these are the people's choices. And I feel like it's really striking because I have been wondering what's going on with the Shangri-Las, right? Like, is it because of their competition being weaker? Is it because people are actively voting for them? And here is where the rubber's going to really hit the road for them. Because
I think you're right.
It's one thing to face off against BTS, Hillary Duff, and Bobby Sherman. It's another thing to face off against the Backstreet Boys.
I am a little surprised that the Sherm didn't make it out of this round, but I'm more surprised at how he never was going to make it out of the Sweet 16. Like, but okay. I don't know how you feel. I think the Shangri-La have had the momentum so far, but I also think Backstreet is Backstreet. I will not be like enraged if Backstreet doesn't win this matchup, but before I say anything else, I believe we have a clip that we should contemplate.
And I will say, I don't know what this song is going to be. I haven't listened to the clip. It's one that Sarah pulled. I'm excited. Here's a Backstreet clip. Everybody, yeah. Rock your body, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Rock your body right. Backstreet's back, all right.
We're back again. Brothers, sisters, everybody sing.
Oh my God.
There is something immediately galvanizing about Backstreet's back. All right. Like, this is machine made, weapons grade pop music, boy band shit. I love the Shangri-Las. I respect the Shangri-Las. The picture that you pulled for the polling this week,
the outfits.
Was not the only one who was like, I'm going to need those boots right now. Like, I'm on Aldo.com. Like, are they making that right now? I will find it. I think that Backstreet is so quintessentially like what we're talking about in terms of idoldom, but then that music still works. It still works. Like, you're being manipulated. You don't care. So my vote and my pick is Backstreet. How do you feel?
Well, first I want to let you know that Diana writes in the chat, my mom saw the Shangri-Las at Palisades Park back in the 60s when they were performing, and she said the lead singer was snobby and not nice to the others. Mm. Oops.
Yeah, there's only one Diana Ross. Don't be trying that. Does anyone in the room disagree or want to take up for the Shangri-La? Any comments on this matchup?
I want to say that one note that Mariah has made is that the first line of the song is, oh my God, we're back again, which she knows means that they are totally self-aware. That is correct. There is something about this song that gets at what Jenny was talking about in the comment section for the poll this week, which is there a quintessential teen idol sound? And I would contend that the quintessential teen idol sound is more of an attitude, which is knowing ridiculousness. And you think about right. The fact that the Backstreet Boys are all dressed like monsters in this music video. And they include lines like, brother, sister, everybody sing. Like, what the hell are you talking about? It does not matter. So there's something about the confidence of your knowing ridiculousness that makes a teen idol song really perfect to me. I would also say that you see that in the dance moves in the New Edition videos. You see that in the fact that Britney Spears had that snake on her shoulders. You see that in the fact that Sean Cassidy recorded a cover of Da-Do Run Run. I just think that there's something about that confident idiocy that makes a teen idol song a joy very often.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that in some ways, teen idols that are machine made, and machine product have a confidence that's like, we have the backing of an entire like set of corporations behind us.
Yes.
Which I think might, I mean, I'm sure that's extremely oppressive in the main. And what occurred with Britney, whatever, we could talk about it later. But I think that like something about Backstreet, like before that all became hopelessly curdled. And I think they're still not really allowed to talk about certain Perlman adjacent things, even though he's been dead. So, it's hard. It's hard to pin it down. And especially in weird matchups like this, it's particularly hard.
It's another comparison of apples and brogans at this point, but yeah. You know, fine. Markella, I don't know if you would feel comfortable, but if you would like, we'd love to have you come on mic and talk about what you did with your printed bracket.
Our people, truly.
Sure. Well, you know, self-confessed nerd here.
Yes.
I totally printed out the bracket at the beginning of the tournament so that I could write in the actual progression of the seeds and everybody. And I, because, you know, it's the only way to make it official, I wrote on there 2 weeks ago my prediction for the final two, ultimately. Should I say who won?
Yes, please do.
I don't want to jinx them either. So my prediction for final two is BSB versus NKOTB.
Well, and how perfect would that be? Because they went on tour together as NKOTBSB. So,
oh my God.
And I was at that concert.
Hell yeah, you were.
My ovaries just sprouted ovaries. That's amazing.
Now, Camille notes that she originally had BTS beating Backstreet in this round. And it honestly was a fair... It's a fair guess, but she says that three of her final four are still in the running. Well, I'm going to just say, oh my God, Adam just reminded us. One time, Adam and I were playing this trivia, this live trivia event where we have been on a team that has played many, many times. We typically do incredibly well. We always make the top two, Adam, right? We've never not made the top two, or almost always.
But very often.
And then do you want to recount the heartbreak of what happened to us?
It was like a lightning round situation. We were top two and the top prize was tickets to that concert. And it was like, and we usually didn't care because usually the prizes were shitty and we very often won and we lost. And it was like the one time we actually wanted something.
I know. It was most of the time the prizes were tickets to shitty musicals that Adam and I had already been forced to see for work.
Right. And like the second place prize is often better. So like, of course we want to win because we're us and we want to win, but we were like, can we swap prizes with whoever actually wins? And we really, really, our whole team really, really wanted these tickets. And
it was heartbreaking. It really was. So point being, Sarah, yes, I agree with you that we are going to say a fond, but I think truly loving farewell to the Shangri-Las here. But I would, if I got a vote, also vote for BSB. Okay, so.
Oh, well.
Now, Sarah, we move on to talk about heartbreak, Sarah.
I think we all know what is probably going to happen in New Edition versus the Monkees. Can you talk a little bit about each one's matchups in the Sweet 16? And then we have a clip.
Yes, so New Edition handily defeated Christina Aguilera, which feels right and true to me because
same here.
My spirit at the end of the day feels that Christina Aguilera is, we've talked about this many times. New Edition is more of a teen idol band than Christina Aguilera is a teen idol artist. That being said, I was happy that she made it as far as she did. I love New Edition though. And those of you who are voting in the Elite Eight poll this week will notice that I picked a New Edition photo because it's so cool and funny. Meanwhile, the Monkees, Sarah, beat Tiffany, meaning we will not get a Tiffany Debbie Gibson matchup at any point in this tournament.
No, this is me Tiffanying goodbye to my eyeliner special star. but I went with black this week to mourn. Not really. It's the Monkees. I am glad that New Edition got this far. But Stephanie can't dance them all the way to the final two, and I think we're gonna say goodbye to them this week. I think the Monkees are teen idolier than New Edition in a more innocent mid-century time extruded way. And I think the music is better executed. With that said, today, the first like really springy day in New York City, cutting this clip, and this sound is so sunny. So I thought we would send off New Edition, probably, with a clip from Cool It Now. So can you play that now?
Oh, yes, I can. Here we go.
Knowing that light brings a change.
Okay, Sarah, I'm going to say something right now. I don't care what year you were born. I don't care how old you are right now. When that clip was playing, we all had on brown roller skates with the orange stopper on the front. Yeah. And we just did. We just actually were transported into an 80s skating rink by those scents.
Yeah, it's such a sunny sound. It's such a well-built song. The thing is, like, eventually you bump up against the fact that New Edition's vocals are the weakest part of their whole brand. And that's a problem in pop music. Like, the mix is turned way down on this kid. Like, he's a kid. I don't blame him. And it's still a rad song, especially once the harmonies come in, it kind of like boosts it up a little bit. But yeah, like, I just think the Monkees are better. And we all did the Monkees Walk and we all watched them on MTV. And it's, I don't know, like, I love New Edition and I think they're important. And I'm, again, not going to be mad if they win, but they shouldn't. And they won't. And I wouldn't vote for them. You?
I agree with you because I think that New Edition is in a way more exciting when you think about the fact that they're the reason we got Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe, mm-hmm. My Prerogative by Bobby Brown, Rub You the Right Way by Johnny Gill, and Sensitivity by Ralph Tresvant. Like, the adult iteration of the boys in this band made better music, and the Monkees, as the Monkees, made amazing songs. So yes, I agree with you. Now, Britt, I believe you have a statement that you might like to make about the Monkee Tiffany matchup, if I'm not mistaken.
So this is the thing. Then it was Tiffany versus Betty Gibson. Now, she did a lot of covers. She didn't write her own stuff, but damn it, she was scrappy. And my sister was in junior high and I was in high school, so I was kind of past all that, but all of my sister's most annoying privileged, obnoxious friends had the little Debbie Gibson vest and hat, and they were such little shit. So obviously, Debbie Gibson sucks, right? She's so packaged, she's so privileged, she's such a pain in the ass. So Tiffany versus Debbie, Tiffany's scrappy, she's at the mall, she's working it, she's trying. You have to root her. But then you are given a choice. Do you vote for Tiffany or the Monkees? Well, come on. I mean, that's an embarrassing question. Obviously, you have to pick the Monkees.
Well, but Britt, your passion is noted and embraced. And I do want to now take a moment, Sarah, to just say that this episode of Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is going to premiere on March 15th, 2021, which is 5 years to the day from our very first episode. This is our fifth anniversary episode. And for me, Sarah, I think that you will agree. One of the reasons I am so happy to still be doing this show after 5 years, well, because I love you and it's really fun, but also the people who listen to this show are just as nerdy as we are. And I feel fed by everyone's passion.
I mean, I love that we are... I mean, I wouldn't say that we're surprised by these revelations, but that we are discovering veins of nerdery to mine amongst the listenership that just make it all worthwhile and keep it going. Also, your fine feathered company, as always. And the fact that we were having phone calls about this in like January, strategizing about it, like, you got to do what you love.
Yeah, like y'all, it was like, Biden hadn't even been inaugurated yet, and we were already like seven conversations deep about this tournament.
And now a word from our sponsor, eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to snag the pair of sneaks you've been looking for. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers will be meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators who verify the logo, the stitching, the box, and dozens of other inspection points. I kind of want that job. And I kind of want to sell my sneakers on eBay because eBay offers a verified return process. and no selling fees on sneakers $100 and up. So it's free to sell or flip your collection. Head to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and selection. Thanks, eBay.
So that brings us, Sarah, to the other side of the bracket and the finalists for the Tiger Beat division. Now, I'd like to start with saying that Britney Spears defeated the Bay City Rollers. I am not surprised by that. I don't know if you are.
No.
Yeah, exactly. But I was a little surprised that Debbie Gibson, as alluded to by Britt, did in fact defeat the Jackson 5.
I was surprised that the margin was... that there was a margin. I thought it would be closer than that. I think the outcome was not super surprising, but I thought it would be a closer contest.
Yeah, I guess that's what I thought it would be, because Debbie Gibson jumped into the lead immediately. And though she had a smaller lead than some of the other competitors in this round, she still had something like 27, 28 votes on top of Jackson 5. Like, damn, okay. Mm. And I was wondering, is it because of what we talked about a few weeks ago that eventually you get to a point where you can't forget what became of Michael Jackson?
Well, and, you know, Jermaine is not exactly the world's finest human participation trophy winner either. Like, and like their father was a revolting pig. I mean, the whole thing is a problem. And it's fascinating to me that these two entities were pitted against each other when there's so much like daddy's Bengali fucked up nonsense happening with both of them. But the Jackson 5, I also feel like, not that they didn't belong in this tournament, but that there might have been this like outside of it and above it thing happening at the same time that like, I'm content that they're out.
Fair enough. I mean, Diana notes that they did have a cartoon series, which I feel like is almost kind of a prerequisite for teen idoldom.
In space. So did the Partridges.
New Kids definitely had a cartoon. Mm-hmm. But Janice notes that for her, the MJ factor is what did it for her in this round. And, you know, that just means here we are again, Debbie Gibson, who I feel like I like Debbie Gibson, but I feel like this tournament is now, I'm now more vociferous for Debbie Gibson than I would be in any other context in my life. But did I listen to Only in My Dreams with my husband in my kitchen earlier this week? Yes. Did we both enjoy it? Yes.
I don't mind that song.
Now, but what I am confused by, not confused by, I'm curious to see, and I'm going to play a clip in just a second before we really get into this, but when Debbie meets Britney, what happens? This I have no call, but I do want to take a moment to play a song by Britney Spears from her first album called Born to Make You Happy. This was never released as a single in the United States, but It was a number one hit in the UK. And Born to Make You Happy is such a wonderful and terrible song simultaneously. I see Jules. I can't tell Jules if this is a reaction of yes or no, but you're having thumbs down from Jules. Well, this song is dumb as shit, but I also like it. Here's Britney Spears, Born to Make You Happy.
Kind of a different vibe.
Yeah.
Everything we know, isn't it?
That little whisper, though, that's the way our life should... That's the Mary Chapin Carpenter TM that, whisper.
What does that remind me of, though? Is it like some... Is it some sort of lesser Braxton? There's like something happening in the composition that it reminds me of something else that... while I like the something else better, the association is good for Britney.
Yeah. Michelle.
Amy, yeah, it also does remind me of Amy Grant. Michelle is absolutely correct. That's maybe not great.
Mariah says it sounds like a song that was, quote, too racy for Amy Grant.
Yeah, probably. So you don't have a prediction here.
I don't. Now, Ron, who has become our resident statistician, has said, well, Ron, do you want to actually talk on mic about what you've about your prediction?
Sure. So I got to go over my spreadsheet here, but I did the predictions just based on margin of victory, you know, everybody has through each round. And, you know, based on those numbers, Debbie is going to get annihilated by Brittany. The total margin of victory is, I don't know the delta, but Brittany has 348 and Debbie has 163.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I just love, as Kat has noted, how great that more than one person clearly has a spreadsheet.
And then it's like all different kinds of spreadsheets. Also that it's like, well, I've been tracking hair lengths. I mean, someone should have been doing that. And that someone is me next time for sure. But yeah, I just love that like different analyses are coming in.
But Ron's case, I think, is very strong here, because if you look at the fact that Britney Spears has been winning by like leaps and bounds, mm-hmm. meaning like the history of this tournament is on her side. That I will now make my final plea then, what may very well be my last time to speak on her behalf. I still feel that Debbie Gibson is a quintessential teen idol in a way that Britney Spears is not. So Debbie, she had a perfume. Vote Debbie.
Yeah, I don't
two
know.
Perfumes.
Okay, Kat.
Two perfumes.
Yeah, Kat, you're right. So yeah.
I just don't like her and I would not vote for her, but I don't know that she's not going to win. I think maybe what we, Debbie, I feel like Mark and I have been pushed to the polls of Debbie-ishness.
We're fighting for positions that we don't even really believe in,
yeah,
outside of the
Mark's
context
like,
of
she's
this tournament.
A 10, and I'm like, she's a square root of -1. And it's actually like, Mark's like, I don't know, 6.5. And I'm like, really? More like a 4? Like, we're not actually that far apart. But I just like, my notes say, ugh, I mean, neither. But I would vote for Britney, because if it's like, well, you can only have one Spotify channel for the rest of your life, pick one of them. It's not going to be Hatsky McGee. So, but I have been wrong before, and I feel like maybe sometimes the Debbians take it personally. So I'm just gonna leave it. I don't know what's gonna happen. Not gonna be surprised either way. And I'm actually like, I thought one of these two would be out by now. Because these are like middle seeds.
Yeah. So I had truly no idea what's going to happen, and no result is going to surprise me in this face-off. And Michelle did correctly note that that Debbie Gibson is Lea Michele, basically. That's a pretty apt comparison. So now that brings us to the final matchup in our Elite Eight. Isn't it wild? I can feel physically how many fewer matches there are to talk about. Like, here we are already at the end.
Yeah, but then there's so much more difficult, mostly.
Yep.
Like, I mean, this one isn't difficult, but I still hate it for my man,
Mandy. So here we go, meaning Leif Garrett was kicked to the curb by New Kids on the Block, which
really no trouble,
which is as it should have been. And Brandy sang her last song as Andy Gibb handily beat her, meaning that we now have a New Kids on the Block versus Andy Gibb face off. And Kat, I actually would love to invite you on mic to talk about your recent statement that you made on Twitter regarding Mr. Andy Gibb.
Well, yesterday I had a really terrible day at work. So I comforted myself with some hot toddies and rewatching the Bee Gees documentary, the most recent one from December. And just the sad parts about Andy Gibb just reminded me how much I loved him when I was a teen.
Mm-hmm.
And like I had posters, I mean, you know, And I just, it cemented in my head. I was like, Andy has to meet and will go into the top four. I'm just, I don't know if he'll, I don't know if that's actually true, but it just feels right to me. And I know, and KOTB is a juggernaut. So, you know, it's going to be a struggle, but I just feel like he should go through.
Yes. So I would just like to say that Emily Giordano has said that you should continue to preach the good gospel of Andy Gibb, and that Adrian says, my IUD is no match for Andy Gibb and his beautiful shirtlessness, but I'm sad he's going to have to say goodbye. Now, Dan Jakes, can you, you want to say a little bit more about your Boston Represent comment?
Oh, well, I had written the same thing next to New Edition too. Like, I mean, they're, you know, that's where I'm from. You know, I grew up around the same time that they were releasing music, around the same age. There's a few, like, you know, personal connections to NKOTB through my family with them. So, like, that's all. I just want them to win.
Yeah, keeping it Boston strong. Well,
I've got no truck other than that.
I feel you, though. Lee notes that Sarah's comment last time about everybody having a favorite new kid was correct, and he adds that he thinks they could possibly win the whole thing based on that point alone, that we were all forced in one way or another to choose a favorite. Now, that being said, I do want to, I was just reflecting on the fact, Sarah, that New Kids on the Block had a lot of hits, as LFO reminded us in their song that they had. But here is one of the New Kids. Yeah, exactly. I had not thought about this particular New Kids on the Block hit, Cover Girl, in quite some time. I can just remember, okay, I want you to cast your mind back. I was one of the boys who would go from acting class to perform in ballets produced by the Masary Wood Dance Company in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I had a really wonderful experience. I was the Nutcracker a couple of times, but one year they did the Firebird, and I was an actor in the Firebird, and they used the Firebird as a way for all of the dance classes to perform. So they would be doing the ballet of the Firebird, but then they would interrupt it with these little interstitial bits where other dance styles would get to perform. So I remember so clearly that for the modern section, a group of small girls performed a dance number to Cover Girl by New Kids on the Block. So I was in costume on the stage at the UTC Fine Arts Center watching small girls dance to the following song. Just cast your mind back. Here is Cover Girl by New Kids on the Block.
This would have been my pick. But here's the thing. People, I think it is not possible to feel like neutral about the New Kids in any direction. Like, I feel like everybody has some strong association with them, even if it's, never heard their songs, it didn't care, but like someone had a sibling who was into it, or they heard this song a bunch of times while working in a mall, or while working in a mall, they were holding 12-year-olds by the head apart because there was two tweens, two Sharons, one Joey McIntyre pillowcase left in the store. And the long arm of the Sarah Law had to hold them apart until the assistant manager got there and mollified one of them with the little sparkly pen tops with all five of the kids inside. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, there was so much New Kid stock and it was terrifying. Also, a lot of Simpsons don't have a cowman stuff. It was, oh my God, 1990 was.
I had a juice box protector that had Bart on it saying don't have a cowman.
Yeah, I just feel like they pre-sold that part of the Simpsons. And then I think nobody really realized that it was kind of a smart show for a while there. Anyway, New Kids. That concert was one of the most amazing anthropological experiences of my life. It was, I didn't realize how many New Kids songs I knew. I was extremely impressed by their showmanship, especially Danny, who like, why are you here? Danny, oh, because you can dance and you have like a 78 pack. I have never heard screaming that loud. Ever. I went to girls' school for 12 years. I have never been perfused with shrieking in that way, to the point where my friend that I went with and I were like, we kept trying to put second pairs of earplugs in. It was that loud. And it was all like, you know, middle-aged people like us pretty much. And then occasionally a husband who was just like on his phone playing Candy Crush and being like, please let this be over. I don't think that Andy Gibb has that power, but like I can't, and you can't like compare them on a musical basis exactly because neither is really that great artistically, but each one of them is so braided into my cultural, like part of my cultural childhood. I mean, I hate to leave Andy behind, but I picked New Kids to win this whole thing. And I think Andy Gibb is maybe a little too much like adult pants feelings.
Adult. He's not a non-threatening boy. He's kind of a threatening boy.
But like he threatens, I don't know.
He threatens to get these
non-orgasmic status. Like I don't know what he threatens exactly, but
he threatens our IUDs. I think is what we're trying to say.
He does. Yes. Little Morena Bunting has just curled into a tiny husk. I mean, do you feel differently? Do you think that Chest Hair has a shot?
I think the New Kids take it in a walk, and I was shocked to remember. I mean, there's a reason I haven't heard the song Cover Girl in so long, I realize now. What I didn't even clip was when Donnie Wahlberg tries to hit a high note, and all...
It was referenced in the chat several times.
Oh, was it really? Yeah, okay. So that is an actual Hindenburg level disaster that has been captured on record forever. I also had forgotten that they are trying to give me a certain Rick Springfield vibe in that song, like a certain rocker edge that they just don't possess.
Oh,
but
God. And when they try to be hard, yeah. Oh, no more games. Like, okay.
We're NKOTB now. Exactly. But you know what? Like, God love them.
Sure. Yeah.
God love them. I would vote for them in this round. And So I once had a sex dream about Jonathan Knight. I'm sure I've talked about that every week, but I did.
Yeah. I was a Jordan gal, but I totally get it. And I found Jonathan very relatable because he had social anxiety, and like try to imagine having social anxiety as a new kid and you're not out.
Yeah, but I knew on some level that he was the gay one because that's why I dreamed about him.
Like, I mean, give this person the Congressional Medal of Honor seriously. That is a lot. Ron, did you want to come on mic and talk about the margins here? Because you had some distressing information.
Yeah, according to the stats, Andy Gibb is going to win.
Hmm.
But his margin over the three rounds is only...
That is celebrating. Oh my God, someone take a screenshot, please.
The margin is only 11 in this matchup.
Huh.
I will be shocked if that happens, but if it does happen, Ron will get, we're going to have to send you some sort of royalty check. I don't even know what, but we will, we're going to keep an interesting and close watch on it. And next week, Sarah, we're going to be down to the final four. So I want to say to everyone, vote, vote, vote. I also I do want to know that Dawn has said maybe I need to start a few additional Patreon accounts. Vote early and often. That's fine.
I mean, look, was I logging in and then out again and then in and like trying to, oh, well, will anyone be able to see that the again with this podcast is voting now? Like I managed to stop myself. I didn't feel that I should interfere with the democratic process in quite such a New Jersey way, but I can only be who I am. I am fascinated to see what's going to happen because I mean, the surprises are the best part and I feel like they're not over yet.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship, that's me, and Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. I also edit the podcast, which is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
To learn more about us, submit song requests, get a pop chart reading, or buy a Mastis book, visit our website at markandsarahtalkaboutsongs.com. You'll also find all of our social media links there, too.
That's Mark and Sarah, with an H, talkaboutsongs.com. And for even more content and access to the Mastass Happy Hour, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/mastass.
Thanks for listening.
Talk about songs.
Save big money at Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking up compact soil and killing weeds in your garden. Get maximum power in a compact frame with a Pioneer rear tine tiller. It features dual direction tines and self-propelled steel wheels. Hurry in for all of your lawn and garden needs and visit Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.